Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I am here in very sunny and very hot New Jersey for a few days with my partner and friend and co-host and bon vivant, a man about Wisconsin, JJ Sefton. How are you doing, JJ?
I am doing well, my co-poscadulator. I think that's what we're going to be doing podcastulations or something like that. So why not? I'm doing well. It's muggy and sticky here, a little overcast, a lot of rain and lightning here in southern Wisconsin, but it happens every time this year. It's called the summer, people. Hello.
Yeah, it Sefton and I were talking before we started recording, and it really is getting a little ridiculous, this hysteria over hot weather. It is, in fact, called summer. It happens almost every summer that we get a lot of hot weather, and then we get some, not so hot weather, and then we get some cold weather during the summer because it's variable. Things are happening, and it's more dynamic, apparently, than the winter. But the idea that 98 degrees in northern New Jersey is some catastrophe is ridiculous. And, the same thing where Sefton lives in Wisconsin. It's hot. Deal with it. As most of you know, I'm living in Paris for the time being. And you want hot weather? Go to Paris. Because they cannot handle it. Because they are essentially a third world country. They don't have enough country wealth, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it, to put air conditioning in every home. So people die from the weather. It has nothing to do with global warming. It has everything to do with the catastrophe that is a soft socialist state. I'll take the United States any day of the week. The poor people in America have air conditioning. They also have cars and big screen TVs and cell phones. But we are far wealthier a country than pretty much everywhere else on Earth. And the idea that we can't handle a little bit of heat during the summer is ridiculous. Does anyone out there know anyone who doesn't have air conditioning? Yeah, sure, there are people who live in very, very temperate parts of the country where air conditioning simply is not needed. 1 or 2 days a year, it's hot. Big deal. Oh, okay, that's fine. You saved the money. That's okay. But that's a decision that you made. It's not forced upon you by the socialist practices of your government. Boy, did I start out ranting? No, I don't think so. Anyway, it's hot. Deal with it.
Well, on a positive note, we do have some, and we talked about this, I think, on the last episode. I know I mentioned a few things on environmentally wise. The EPA is doing some great things. We are, I believe we've got rid of the CAFE standards. At least hopefully it's permanent. It may be just temporary, God forbid, until another Democrat is elected into office. But the EPA is also getting rid of a lot of horrible regulations that stifle the economy, that stifle people's lives and well-being. And so all this stuff is, and on top of it, Gavin Newsom, the useless, greasy bastard governor of California, is now realizing that he's going to sell off, I think, the only remaining oil refinery in the town of Benicia, I believe it's pronounced. And
Benicia.
Hopefully Benicia, excuse me. That's, I think that was a Star Trek episode. That's what they used that name. But in any event, they called it Benicia, and that's 50 years later. It sticks in my craw. But anyway, yeah, Benicia. And so some oil company is going to actually be refining petroleum products in California. Oh, the humanity. Amazing, isn't it?
The idea that California doesn't need fossil fuels is it's clownish. It's absolutely ridiculous. First of all, it's one of the biggest states in the United States. I think it's the third biggest after
Texas
and Texas.
Yeah.
And getting around in California without a car is a joke. Getting around in California with an electric vehicle is a joke also. There are plenty of roads, especially out in Eastern California, where you're not anywhere. I mean, it's you're far, far, far from civilization. And, north to south, it's got to be more than 1,000 miles. These little glorified golf carts that they call electric vehicles just don't work. I didn't want to rant today, but I'm going to rant.
You better run, baby.
Yeah, the idea of electric vehicles in the great country of America is silly. We have so much area to cover with cars. We cannot use electrical vehicles. And yeah, if you're in the suburbs and it's your third car because you're wealthy or well off, that's fine. Have at it. Good for you. I just don't want to pay for it.
And there was a wonderful story, or a maddening story, that finally we have decided to kill this Biden era boondoggle of, I think they spent something like, I don't know how many $100 billion for electric charging stations around the country, and in the event they only built like two or three of them. You talk about graft out the wazoo, boy. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's
And finally, I think they.
that's Buddy Gig, or
Right,
however the
buddy,
fuck you pronounce his stupid name.
whatever, butt plug, whatever.
Yeah.
And in any event, finally, the Trump administration killed that ridiculous, and everyone's screaming and freaking out. The high speed train to nowhere in California, that's finally seems to have been killed off for good, courtesy of
No,
the one
listen, if
big
California
boondoggle.
wants to pay for it, that's fine with me. I don't care. Just don't use my tax money for a ridiculous train line.
Bingo. Absolutely
Let's get
ridiculous.
back to the what you were talking about earlier, the CAF standards and changing the definition of carbon dioxide. Now that is a very, very big deal. The EPA has looked at carbon dioxide as a poison, which of course it isn't. It's a part of our natural world. It's an integral part of our natural world. It's required by plants to survive. It's required by us to survive because, we, or at least our food eats plants.
Right.
And it was obviously a political maneuver to further the communistic green energy scare. I'm not going to call it a plan. It's a scare. And they're in the process of changing that, which is a very, very important thing.
Yeah. Carbon dioxide is literally a pillar of life. Without carbon dioxide and oxygen, both for anaerobic and aerobic respiration, there is no life on this planet. Carbon itself, this push to become this idiotic carbon neutral nonsense, that's like saying becoming worm food. You might as well just decompose standing up, my friends, because that's it. Carbon is necessary for life, as is carbon dioxide and oxygen. So yeah, that was the last whatever that was. I don't know, whatever the Supreme Court was, however many years ago under Obama or Biden, unilaterally declaring that carbon dioxide is a pollutant to be regulated. That was just,
Yeah.
of course,
And
it's a
hopefully
power
we're,
grab.
yeah. So, well, what else is going on in the world? Seth and I were talking about the British and the French who have come out officially, I guess. I don't know. Their prime ministers have claimed it, or and their presidents have claimed it, that they want a Palestinian state. And Donald Trump pretty much said, go fuck yourselves. That's grandstanding. It's disingenuous, and it's also quite dangerous. Mike Huckabee went a step further and suggested that, yeah, build a Palestinian state on the Riviera in France. That's great. Fantastic. Have at it, guys. Which,
Exactly. I love it.
yeah.
Instead of having a Riviera on Gaza, make the Riviera Gaza again. Can put MTGA, make the MTRGA, make the Riviera Gaza again or something.
Works for me. Yeah,
Unbelievable.
Macron, the president of France, he is a clown. He's obviously chasing the anti-Semitic vote in France. I mean, let's face it, France has always been mildly anti-Semitic and sometimes virulently anti-Semitic. They were quite good at getting rid of their Jews. The conceit in France is that only 25% of their Jews were murdered by the Nazis. That has nothing to do with the French people, except for a tiny, tiny minority who actively helped the Jews escape France or escape into free France. I was just at the Museum of the Shoah in Paris a couple of days ago, and there's a room filled with note cards little, you know, three, whatever 3x5 is in the metric insanity, filled to the brim with neat cards with the names of every Jew in France. And that wasn't produced by the Nazis, folks. That was produced by the government apparatchiks in France in, you know, between 19 probably 41 and 1945, because their German masters said, well, we want to get rid of the Jews, and this is our first step. And the, you know, the police chiefs and the town clerks all said, okay, that sounds great. We'll help. So
Yep.
again,
Yeah.
I'm on a rant. Sorry about that,
No,
but
that is okay. And believe me, it's the French have this sort of mythology that of whatever, wearing berets and everybody being in the resistance and this and that, and it's such a crock of shit. And they've played on that mythology, for almost 80 years already, since the end of the war. And look, yes, there were some very righteous people who did save Jews and saved other people, and there were some very brave resistance fighters. But I would say, I hate to say it, for the most part, most French people either looked the other way, and quite a few sadly joined what was known as the Milice, which was the French police that aided and assisted the SS in rounding up Jews and also rounding up all political enemies of Vichy France and Nazi Germany and chucking them into camps. And the French did it before the Germans didn't even have to goad them and demand that they hand over their Jews. You are so right, CBD. The French voluntarily handed over their Jews before, all on their own, of their own volition. So that's on them. So this
there's an
mythology
additional,
that,
sorry.
it's okay,
Yeah,
this
there's an
mythology that the
additional
French are, whatever.
conceit. There's an additional conceit in France that it was the Vichy government, Marshal Pétain, who was the real Jew hater. And it was, you know, the good French people who didn't live in Vichy France, they were the ones who saved the Jews. Well, that's not really true. Vichy France was quite good at it. But as you say, the typical Frenchman either didn't care for the most part, or was a passive or perhaps active collaborator with the Nazis when it came to getting rid of of French Jews. Anyway, you know, fast forward to 2025 when we have Macron and his husband, who are front and center in recognizing Arabs as sort of super citizens of France, and looking at Israel as this pariah on the world stage, when the reality, of course, is that Israel is the tip of the sword or the tip of the spear when it comes to combating Islam. And sadly, I think that France will eventually fall to Islam unless there is a significant change. You know, Sefton and I have talked about this endlessly on this podcast, and we've both written about it at Kutchib Newsletter and at Ace of Spades. But the thing is that Europe, they sowed the seeds of their own destruction by allowing millions and millions of Muslims into their countries. Why they did it, you know, that's a question for another day, but they did it. And it's blatantly obvious that the current crop of politicians in both France and the UK are courting the Muslim vote. And to what end? It's for short-term gain. The long term means that Westminster Abbey will be Westminster Mosque, and Notre Dame will be either torn down or will be converted into a mosque. Will that happen this century? I think it will happen in the UK in this century. Maybe not until the next century in France, but I think it will happen. And I'm very sad about that because I love both countries. I think they're wonderful places. But as I said, it's their own fault.
Absolutely, and there are many reasons, and some that are very concrete, and then there are some that are a little more nebulous, that sociologically speaking, to define the psyche of the European or the French or the British mindset, at least of the elites, so to speak, that allowed this to happen over the course of many decades. And colonialist guilt, other guilt trips, other nonsense, and they're not, they need those votes in order to maintain power. And before long, they'll, it is ridiculous. It is, And it is a sad, it's a sad thing because both France and Britain were both bulwarks of and fonts of Western Judeo-Christian civilization going back at least 1,000 years, if you know, it's from the beginning of the Christian era. And then, of course, look where we are to today. So it's, and again, it's their own, and then the birth, and we t there's there was an article, I think, by Daniel Greenfield, that the birth rate here in the US is collapsing, and the people who are breeding like rabbits, especially there on the other in Europe, are all Muslims, and the most popular name is Muhammad. That tells you something.
Yeah, it does. It tells it. Well, it's already happened. So
It's already happened,
this is
so.
demographic suicide, and there isn't much they can do about it. I think that the UK is worst off by far. I think that they're done. And as I have written several times, the only thing that can save the United Kingdom is a hot civil war. It's going to be a violent and ugly civil war, and I don't know that the people of the United Kingdom have it in them to conduct that civil war. I simply
Well, we
don't.
saw maybe a flash of it over the last couple of years. There were some very sort of really strong reactions to the rape gang situation, both in Manchester especially, and of course the British government put those down, and those are the bad guys for protesting that their children are being gang raped and groomed. But that thing is, that will probably be the spark of it, that's that if it does touch off, we'll touch it off, and it's already happening. So, and
Yeah,
that's a big scandal in England, but we'll see. And
but
of course,
they,
now England just passed these draconian
yeah.
free speech, quote unquote, laws that anybody who even brings it up will be guilty of hate speech and will be prosecuted.
It's incredible. It's absolutely
Nuts.
incredible. And they're rapidly turning into a surveillance state with their control of the internet. So yeah, as I said, I see nothing good coming out of the United Kingdom from now on. I think that Labor's got another 4 years, I guess. 2029, I think, is there. I don't remember. Is their next
Something like
election.
that.
And I don't see any reason why Starmer and the Labor Party would call it an early election. And by the time the next election rolls around, they're going to have 16-year-olds voting. And how many, who are the most common, who are the most common 16-year-olds in the UK today? Can you take a guess? It's that Mohammed kid.
Exactly.
So yeah, they've but again, this is all their own doing. So our job now
Oh,
is to prevent that from occurring in the United States.
and who knows if it's too late here? I mean, thank God Donald Trump and the MAGA movement has, awakened a lot of people to the insanity of open borders, and it's also exposed the left as just insane for supporting it. So will that? And I think our Gen Z and our younger set are a lot of polls coming out. Whatever you think of polls, that they're turning off a lot of the younger generations for many, many reasons. And so that's a good thing in the long term. So hopefully that holds and that's a trend.
Yeah. Speaking of polls, I saw an interesting bit of data. The number of rapes in various European countries this century. And France and the UK and Sweden skyrocketed. And Poland decreased. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but Poland has very, very strict immigration laws. They don't let Muslims in, pretty much. So consequently, women can walk in the streets of any city in Poland safely, whereas women cannot walk safely in many, many cities in the UK and in France and in Sweden. That's called correlation, but it's a pretty powerful correlation.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and sort of on a semi-related note, I saw we had an article today in the Morning Report how, and nobody seems to understand why, but Houston's crime rate has absolutely crashed into through the cellar. Like reports of violent crimes and all these things are like nowhere near what they used to be even a year or 2 years ago. Gee, I wonder why that is. Could it possibly be because of all the deportation of all the criminal illegal aliens? I wonder if that there's a correlation there too. So
I
Do
would
the
love to
math,
see
folks.
how much self-deportation is occurring. And I'm not talking about official self-deportation using the app and getting $1,000 and going back to Shitkanistan or Malaysia or Guatemala, wherever the fuck these people are coming from, or China for that matter. But I wonder, what about the quiet stuff? People deciding, you know something? I can't make a living here. I can't, you know, they're going to kick me off the welfare rolls. I might have to actually pay for my medical care. So I'm going back to whatever country. I'd like to see the data on that. It's difficult to collect. I realize that, but hopefully those numbers are increasing every day.
And of course, the Democrats are screaming the loudest about how could Donald Trump issue an order removing illegal aliens from the SNAP rolls, getting, free food. And how cruel is that? I'm saying, what are you kidding? I mean, and
I know, it's
keep it up,
unbelievable.
Democrats, and you'll just be creating more Republican voters in the future. Please
Yeah.
keep that up.
I thought they weren't on the welfare rolls. Isn't that what the Democrats have been telling us for 25
Yeah,
years?
forever. Yeah, it's a myth.
No,
It's a
since the
myth.
80s. Yeah.
It's exactly ridiculous. But of course, we know that that's. And even then, let's say even they weren't. Why would you even oppose that measure? To oppose it, to openly say no, we want illegal alien foreigners to benefit from your taxpayer dollars. Why would you oppose just a logical rule like that? It's like
Yeah, that's it's a good question. I mean, we're sort of straying from the topics at hand, but the explanation for why the Democrats are doubling down on these obviously unpopular policies is difficult to understand. Now, my guess is that they think that the demographics are in their favor if they can just hold on, and the number of illegals voting is increasing in spite of the Trump administration's efforts. And I think they're trying to attract the hard left and their blue-haired mothers who vote hard left Democrat, hard left socialist, hard left progressive, whatever the hell you want to call them. And they think that's going to save them. I don't think it's going to save them, but that's my only theory. And it doesn't make much sense, but you know,
Yeah,
who the
I
hell
don't think.
knows?
I'm a little bit, let's just say, semi-optimistic that I think you are right about that. But for sure, and there was an article I think in American Thinker maybe last week, and it just laid it right on the line. As we all know, the Democrat Party needs illegal aliens because those are the people that are vo they need the illegal alien illegal vote to put them into office.
Yes.
Aside from just the usual cheating,
Yeah.
but they need that, and that's what it's all about. Nothing more, nothing less.
Oh, unbelievable. So, Sefton brought up an interesting point about the horrendous peace that is breaking out in many, many places around the world, and the man driving it is a guy named Donald Trump, who I thought was this warmongering Nazi who wanted everybody dead. Now, I guess I'm wrong. I don't know.
It must be 11-dimensional chess, CBD, because let's see, he's brokered a peace deal, but there was a recent spat that broke out between border conflict between Cambodia and Thailand, who used to be allies, I believe it or not. It's one point post the Vietnam era and the post the Pol Pot era. He also brokered a peace deal between Rwanda and Congo, and so
And he
this
had a
is just
hand in Pakistan and India a few months
India.
ago.
It's it this is amazing. I mean, regardless of what what we thought with Ukraine and Russia, or even the insanity of trying to broker some kind of peace between Hamas and Israel, which is on the face of it is insanity. But I mean, I give the guy credit for calming a lot of potential hotspots in the world and bringing people to the table and bringing people together. And for those things alone, I think he should be, not that I'd ever want to become a member of the club, but yeah, it deserves a Nobel Prize consideration for that. I mean, but whatever.
His efforts in Ukraine, I think, are a little odd. He's obviously he's accused of being a Putin puppet. I'm not really sure why. And he's a little frustrated by Vladimir Putin because Vladimir Putin is a manipulative prick. And he's going to do what Vladimir Putin wants to do. There's no way around that. I think that the idea of a peace in Ukraine is at this point a pipe dream. Russia is slowly consolidating. They're not very good at it, but they've got more resources than Ukraine. And
Is
I've said this
true.
many, many times, absent boots on the ground from Western Europe and Central Europe, Ukraine is going to be partly Russian. There's no way around that. So I'm not sure what Donald Trump is trying to do. I think he's making a mistake putting that much pressure on Putin. But again, and as for Israel and the Gaza situation, he's already announced that Hamas is being difficult, and perhaps it's time for Israel to push hard and get rid of them militarily. I like that because it's ultimately the only way that's going to happen. So.
Absolutely. There is no right. You cannot, I mean, there is no peace between those two. It's Hamas will just drag their feet just so that they can consolidate their position or just to save their own bacon, so to speak, to fight again another day, which is what they're going to do because that is the nature of them and because they are Islamic. And they've been, it's the same thing for 1500 years. Fake out, cry uncle if you have to, and then lick your wounds, come back again when they're not looking. And that's exactly what they'll do.
Exactly. The sad thing, though, is that Hamas is winning on the world stage, at least the world media stage,
Oh, God.
and in large part because of the of a compliant media that is actively anti-Semitic and anti-Israel, but also the very, very carefully constructed academic presence in the United States, which is very, very dangerous, and that is funded. By Saudi Arabia, by Qatar, by a bunch of Arab states, primarily by Qatar now, and they fund endowed seats in at major universities, and of course, who gets the endowed seat? Some virulent, lunatic, anti-Israel cocksucker, and they have policy groups. They're funding everything, and the goal, of course, is to subvert public opinion in the United States and create what we see on universities nowadays or campuses nowadays, this ignorant but powerful anti-Israel, anti-Semitic influence. And it's dangerous. And
And there's this,
I
right,
don't know what to do about it.
there is this horrendous blood libel going around that Israel is committing genocide by denying food and humanitarian aid and starving children. It's all bullshit. And sadly, President Trump has sort of parroted that line. And it's like, I don't know if he's blaming Hamas for it or, but it's ridiculous. And I've ra railed against one of why is it, this Chris Van Hollen son of a bitch is just what a low turd he is for just claiming Benjamin Netanyahu is using food as a weapon against Gaza. Well, where was he during October 7th when Gaza was roasting Jewish children alive in ovens in front of their in front of their
Yeah.
parents?
And
Nowhere to
let's
be
not
found, of
forget,
course.
folks, that Gaza has a border with Egypt. Egypt can fix this too. But Egypt doesn't want to because Egypt doesn't want anything to do with the fucking Palestinians, the fucking Gazans, because they know who they are. And they're a bunch of rabid lunatics who all they want to do is kill. That's who they are. That's what they've been taught. That's in their blood. And let's not pretend that it's simply the fault of Israel. These people are these maniacs. They're not. It's not the fault of Israel. It is the fault of Islam, and it is the fault of the Soviet Union in the 60s, and it's the fault of many, many things, but it sure isn't the fault of Israel. It's been said many, many times. What would happen if Israel laid down its arms? Well, it would be overrun and millions of Israelis would be murdered. What would happen if Hamas and Hezbollah laid down their arms? Nothing. Nothing would happen. Israel would pull out and go back to doing what it does best. And Gaza would be, I guess, safe, free. I don't know.
Safe-ish, but I mean
Safe-ish.
the key is
Yeah.
right. The thing is, what they should have done, and what they all should do, is just give up this, which they won't do because it's like, asking the sun not to rise in the east in the morning. Give up this insane Jew hatred that this Muhammad, son of a bitch, fucking wrote down in the Quran, however many years ago, and live in peace with your neighbors and accept them as your neighbors, and you'd flourish. You really would be a paradise. It really would be a paradise. But no, they
Yeah.
won't do that.
No, they
But
won't.
there you have it. It's too bad. They have only themselves to blame. And when Palestinian, quote unquote, women have babies only for the sole purpose, especially male children, to raise them up to be human Islamakazi bombs and strapping explosives
Shahids.
on them
Yes.
to go blow up pizzerias and Passover seders. There's your problem, my friends. So unbelievable.
Exactly.
Sad, sad.
Yep.
What a world. What a sick world.
Yeah.
That sick world.
All right, folks. We're gonna c cut this one short. I've got stuff to take care of. Thank you very much for listening to us. Thank you for hitting our tip jar. Thank you for reading and commenting over at Cutjib Newsletter and at Ace of Spades. And I hope you can stay cool. Oh, I'm just joking about that. It's everyone's gonna be fine. Until next time. Sefton, take it
Until next
away.
time. Oh my God, we're all gonna die.
Yeah.
No, just kidding, just kidding. Well, we are, but not right now. In any event, my friends, God bless you all for your love and support. We truly appreciate it. And for CBD, it's JJ Sefton on the Cutjib Newsletter Worldwide Podcast Network. And we will see you again on the next one. God bless
Thanks
you
for
all.
listening, folks.